Chapter 24. That was the first mistake. The person was too close, mere inches away, which allowed no adequate buffer to ward off a sudden counterattack. The second mistake was not pulling the trigger and killing him. Shaw's thumb jammed behind the trigger, making discharge impossible. His other four fingers closed on the muzzle, jerking it downward so it pointed to the ground. The final mistake was not letting go of the pistol. He pulled hard, bent his body forward, and the figure sailed over him, landing hard in the grass. He ripped the gun free, straddled the body, and pointed the weapon at the person's head. Janie? She was lying under him, her cotton robe askew, and her hair in her face. She was breathing hard, probably from the impact with the ground. She had on a pair of tennis shoes, a robe, and not much else that he could see. Her knee slamming into his left kidney sent a jarring pain up his back. He fell sideways and lay hunched over in the grass next to her. The two rose slowly, nursing their bumps and bruises. Shaw kept the gun in his hand. "What the hell are you doing here?" she demanded, her gaze flitting from the gun to his face. "I saw lights on in the villa next door. Then I thought I saw a guy coming over the wall into your grounds." She looked around. "From where did you see all this?" Shaw pointed at the cliffs. "I was taking a stroll. From up there, it's a clear line to your villa." "How did you know where I was staying?" she said sharply. He looked sheepishly. "Okay, I confess. I followed you home the night we had dinner, but just to make sure you got here okay. You know, rich woman traveling alone, I was worried about you." He held up the gun. "I'm a little surprised you have one of these." "Like you said, I'm rich and traveling alone, and I have a permit for it." "Really?" He handed it back to her. "I thought France was pretty strict about guns." "Money solves many problems," she said coolly. He rubbed his back. "Let me guess. In addition to foreign language immersion classes, you also have time for martial arts." She fingered the gun before releasing the hammer and placing it in the pocket of her robe, which she cinched up tightly. "I heard something in the rear yard, but I didn't see a man come over the wall. Well, that is, except for you. But you must have seen the lights come on next door, and there's a van out front with two men in it." She gazed at the wall separating the two villas. "Maybe I did. I can't be sure." She looked back at him. "So, you can see my villa from the cliffs?" "Yeah. The tourist buses come there every day and take photos of the villas, the valley, and the mountains." For some reason, Shaw could tell that she knew all of this. That, along with her having a gun, now rekindled his suspicions. "Your pool is the only one directly visible from that vantage point. The pool next door is mostly hidden by a garage and some trees." She glanced at the dark waters. "The pool?" She shot him an accusatory look. "Could you see me swimming then? And afterwards?" Shaw didn't hesitate. "All I saw was the guy. That's why I came down here, to make sure you were okay. I would have knocked on the front door, but again, there were the dudes next door, and I wasn't sure what was going on. And it is after 1 in the morning. "Yes, it is. I'm surprised you're still up." "Yeah, I was surprised to see you, too. Guess I'm still on U.S. time. You sure you didn't see anyone?" "No one. And the doors are all locked." She paused. "I didn't know lobbyists were so good with defensive maneuvers and guns." Shaw managed to chuckle. "Hell, it was all luck. When I felt the muzzle against my head, I just sort of freaked. Last time I fired a gun, I was 13. It was a .22 caliber rifle, and the targets were tin cans stuck on fence posts. But where did you learn to sneak up on people like that? I never even heard you." Shaw had thought it impossible for anyone to do that to him. "I took ballet. I'm light on my feet." When she didn't say anything else, he lightly touched her arm and said, "I'm just glad you're okay. I better get going now." "Maybe we can see if the men are still out there," she said, turning toward the villa. Shaw mutely followed her. noting the grass stain on the back side of her cotton robe where he'd thrown the woman. The house was dark, and she didn't turn on any lights as they moved through the space, Shaw following her lead. He could tell that she had excellent night vision. They reached the front room, where Shaw could see the oak double doors leading outside. The room was barrel-vaulted, supported by visible curved wooden trusses in a style often seen in older European homes. The interior walls were thick with a stucco veneer. They kept the cool or heat in as needed. The furnishings were eclectic, costly, and plentiful to the point of the large room feeling slightly cluttered but cozy. To his left, he noted the corkscrew limestone staircase that provided access to the interior five floors. A lot of space for one person. They drew close to the door, and he watched as Janie eased back a curtain of the sidelight next to the doorway. Shaw peered over her shoulder. He breathed an inaudible sigh of relief when he saw the Citroën van still there, with the dark shadows in the front indicating the men were also still present and accounted for. She closed the curtain and took a step back, turning to him. "Thanks for your concern, Bill."
"Anytime. You have any idea who those guys are?"
She shook her head. "Maybe we should report this to the police."
"Maybe we should," said Shaw. He had no intention of doing any such thing, and something made him suspect that she wasn't going to call them either. "Well, I better get going. Do you mind if I go out the way I came in? Those guys look a little rough for my tastes."
She nodded absently, her gaze on his face. "I'm sure you could handle yourself just fine."